whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I was explaining to a friend of mine recently that it's not the hump day show. It's just the hump show. It's our middle show of the work week. And he said, well, isn't that a bit suggestive, or aren't people going to think things? Oh, well, it's fine. We're all adults here. And you know what? That's the whole point. If you can call it hump day on Wednesday and that's your middle day, well, this is our middle show. This is how people remember us. And we try to get a little bit crazy. We try to be a little different here on the show. So after hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, and then also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, case in point with the Twix, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That comes up next hour.
Hump.
Right. We are continuing with your reaction to LeBron James and his oldest son, Bronny, playing in a game together, making NBA history. It was only 3 minutes in the second quarter of the Lakers opening night against the Wolves. Bronny took 2 shots, didn't have any points, so he hasn't yet scored in an NBA game. His father had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 block shots. And yeah, the history is now done and over with. We can say that we've seen it. I really do think that the bigger point here, or maybe the part that's more impactful to me, or that leaves, or that resonates more with me, is that LeBron is still one of the best players in the league, and he's still in such great shape that he's able to be out there with his son, that he's actually the one starting and running the team, and not his son, who's 20 years younger than he is, right? This is LeBron's team still, and Bronny gets to be a part of it, as opposed to, say, the other way around, where if Bronny had come in as some high-profile prospect, maybe he would be the one people are raving about, and his dad would be on his way out, but it's not that way. So if nothing else, I think it's impressive the longevity, the health of LeBron. I know he dealt with some injuries a couple years back, and obviously that still derails the Lakers. If the Lakers want to devote part of their opening night to this, to me, those 3 minutes are not any big deal in terms of the course of their season. And we all know how many NBA players handle a long season. They have load management. They take nights off. There are some nights where on back-to-backs, when they're on road trips, a team gets torched because they just don't have the energy or just don't care to put forth the energy. A lot of people would tell you the NBA season is far too long. And yet, these 3 minutes are going to make such a difference in the course of the Lakers season. Nah, they still got the win. Isn't that the most important thing? And these two got to be on the court together as a father and son, which has never happened in the NBA before. And before you poo-poo it and say it doesn't matter and who cares and it's a gimmick, I don't know, maybe think about them as a family and how thrilled LeBron is to see this opportunity for his son, but also to share this experience with his son.
Everything was just great today for me. Everything was great. From the moment I woke up, I saw my daughter before she went to school, and went to work, saw my son at work, get to the game, and just everything, man, our whole family. It's a great moment for Laker Nation and the way we played tonight. Hopefully we continue to play how we that type of brand basketball all throughout the year, and then for our family, it was a big moment.
It's a little anxious going into like you said, that first game stepping onto the court. It's a little nerve-wracking, but once I stepped on the court, got up and down a couple times, it all went away. I felt pretty good.
This is the Lakers' first win in their last 8 season openers, which I didn't realize till tonight because I wasn't keeping track. They actually got a win. But of course, this is the big headline. And yet, as you hear LeBron talk about how perfect it is, I got to go to work with my son. And I like the point that they've both made about how much time LeBron has been away from his family over the course of his career. Even now that he's a superstar, a global sensation, he transcends the sport. Sure, he can take his family with him wherever he goes because he can afford that, like the Olympics. But a lot of his life has been spent away from his kids, and they're growing up without him, and they're having to do their big events, their school plays, their musicals, their recitals, their big sports events without their dad around. And so the fact that they get to be together, and Bronny echoed that same thing. It's like, yeah, I've missed so much of my earlier years, my teenage years, you know, my elementary school years without my dad. So this is, in part, makes up for it.
I've been able to get through that by, you know, from the love of the game, just going out there and being able to play by myself. Yeah, I've noticed it for sure. It's a lot of time that we haven't had together. But it's just all part of, you know, what we love to do, and there's nothing we can do about that. So yeah, it's a great feeling to, you know, be together for what we love to do.
Now, see, that appeals to me as someone who loves family, someone who can only imagine that type of an experience. Just the relationship that I have with my mom, right? To be able to share something amazing with her, even when she's here in studio, when I get a chance to share a show with her, or I've had her on my radio show. Those are special experiences to me. So if you are a parent, of course, we're all sons and daughters, but if you are also a parent, maybe it changes your perspective a little bit. Sean Grady will join us after our next break to talk about the other game that tipped off the NBA season as the Celtics received their championship rings, had many dignitaries and former greats on hand. And is it a newly motivated Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? I'll ask Sean Grady, true or false, about these Olympic snubs, if you will. That's coming up in just a few minutes. 855-212-4227. At A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Tyler is in Georgia. Tyler, what do you think about this moment?
Amy, I'm a father, and everybody's saying this is a gimmick. I would do anything in the world to make my son's dream come true.
That's neat, huh? I mean, I think if you just boil it down to father and son, it's pretty cool.
It is. Well, LeBron works real hard for this moment. And I'm glad he got to enjoy it tonight with his son. I'm glad Brian, he got to enjoy it with his dad.
Yeah, I agree about that. And even if it's only 3 minutes in the first game and we don't see it again for months, or maybe not at all this season, depending upon how Bronny develops, I'm okay with 3 minutes being devoted to history. For heaven's sakes, we're going to see a lot of these teams as the season stretches on. Just, I don't want to say tank a game, but, you know, they're getting blown out by 40 on a night when they just don't feel like playing, or they just don't have the energy. So these 3 minutes, to me, they're history, but they really don't matter in the course of the year.
No, ma'am, they didn't. But it was great for them, too.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks so much, Tyler.
Thank you.
Brandon's in Chicago. Brandon, welcome to After Hours.
No. I'm sorry. I love that song. I've got two quick points. If you had a gymnasium full of second-round draft picks and G-leaguers, the average basketball fan would not be able to make the distinction. So I think it just screams, you know, unabashed haterism.
Haterism. I like that word. Haterism.
I think it's cool that it's reciprocated on both ways. Most young people usually try to stay away and try to want to separate themselves from their parents. And your light thing, it is a form of trespassing. It's an unauthorized intrusion of your privacy. You'd be just as bad as if they pointed concert-style subwoofers at your house and blasted it all the way.
I appreciate that perspective. It's trespassing. You're right. That light should not be shining onto our property. So we're it's a slow moving solution, but we're, I think, getting there closer anyway.
You should have no problem.
I hope not. Yeah, the fact that the town inspector didn't even care to hear the details of how we'd appealed to our neighbor, just right away said that's not the kind of light that should be on their garage. It's just we're a little worried now that our neighbor's going to go ballistic, and who knows what he might do because he was so angry when we even suggested that the town had an ordinance against the light. So I don't know if this is going to send him off or set him off.
It may turn into like a Gran Torino kind of thing. You guys are friendly, and then one day he'll call your husband Toad, and then one day someone will shoot your neighbor and maybe
let's not go there. Let's hope that he just understands that we wanted to compromise, and he didn't give us many other options. Let's hope it's that.
I was joking about the violence. I hope so. Thank you anyway. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Brandon. Good to have you listening in Chicago. Dave is in Michigan. Dave, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. What's up? Love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Been listening for a while.
Awesome.
Hey, I think, thanks. So a really big achievement that is not going to be in the record books with Bron is the fact that he was able to, so he didn't know his father growing up, you know, and it's but for him to provide for his children, his family, everything that he probably wished he could have had, you know, growing up back in the day, like that's got to be such a fulfilling feeling that I'm not a parent, so I couldn't imagine it, but you can hear the emotion in his voice.
Yes.
And he's, you know.
Agreed. I agree. And you're right. His upbringing was completely different than what Bronny's is, or Bryce, or his daughter. And we know he dotes on his family. They do their taco nights and all that jazz. And so I do think it's cool. And also just thinking about his siblings being there. And, you know, they were out there. Well, their faces, they were sitting courtside. Their faces, they were pretty excited. Bryce had it on his phone. He was taping it. But, you know, they're younger siblings, too, that probably really look up to their older brother as well as their father. It was 3 minutes, and yet it meant so much to that family and to the Laker organization. Let's not forget, this wouldn't have happened if the Lakers didn't want it to happen in their uniform. And they've made it pretty clear that they're going to stick with LeBron, kind of like they did with Kobe at the end of his career. They're going to stick with LeBron as long as he's interested in playing. They want him to finish his legacy in a Lakers uniform, right? They want him to finish out there and not go anywhere else, even if that means he's diminished. And he's not. Right. But they'll do anything to keep him there. And so if this is what it takes to make LeBron happy and give him kind of this special gift, then of course they're willing to do it because it really doesn't make much of a difference for them.
Correct. But it means the world to LeBron, I'm sure. Like,
yeah.
Deep down, he's such a good father. Love it. All right.
And I would think the family. I'm sorry, not the family. I think the fans, too. I mean, think how there were a bunch of celebrities who wanted to be there to see this moment.
Yep.
So if the fans are into it and it's a reason for them to be paying attention, then they'll take that as well.
Absolutely.
Cool. Good stuff, Dave. Thanks so much.
Yep.
855-212-4227. I like your perspectives. They run the gamut on every perspective that you bring to me, right? There's a little bit of your own story in it. Certainly, if you're from Chicago and you think Michael Jordan's the greatest, well, maybe you bristle at LeBron getting this opportunity. But again, I'm going to focus on the fact that A, it's family. I love family. B, it was 3 minutes in the grand scheme of a regular season that means a whole lot of nothing. C, this was the Lakers' commitment to seeing the history in their uniform and in their arena. They wouldn't have wanted it in another arena. And I think, too, on top of that, for LeBron to still be one of the best players in the league at his age, when this was Tom Brady, people were raving about it. Well, now it's LeBron James, and he still has an opportunity to add another year to his incredibly, well, his future Hall of Fame career, so incredibly storied career, and he gets to do it with his son, at least in name. We may not see a whole lot of Bronny on the court once the games get competitive. But those things, those to me are kind of cool human interest aspects and elements of this story. At A-Law Radio, and then also our Facebook page, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Sean Grandy is straight ahead from Boston. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is special. Honestly, man, on behalf of me, my teammates, the organization, we couldn't have did it without you last year. So let's enjoy this moment together. I can honestly say to the best fans in the world, let's do it again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Jason Tatum, who promptly headed off to the Olympics after winning his first title with the Boston Celtics. You can hear the emotion in his voice as he addresses the crowd pregame after they received their rings and watched banner number 18 rise to the rafters. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're thrilled to welcome our friend Sean Grandy, who last joined us following the Celtics Tipper Tape Parade in the summertime. Sean, longtime voice of the Boston Celtics. He had a chance to MC that ceremony. What will stand out for you after seeing it unfold?
For me, it's like the parade when people are asking about 08, the fact that my son is 13 now and wasn't alive the last time they won. So seeing everything through his eyes not only means something to me on a night we saw LeBron and, you know, whisper in Bronny's ear before he checked in for the first time, and every parent can understand that, but it also makes you realize, seeing it through my son's eyes, the passage of time and how many Celtic fans didn't get to see it. And I remember, you know, calling the end of the championship, I'd sort of come up with this idea that, you know, I said something about the Celtic fans of the, you know, Celtics Nation that were kids in the 60s get one more, and the ones in the 80s get one now for their kids. And the ones who are kids in the new Big Three era with Garnett and Pierce or whatever, they now have one as adults. And the kids of Celtics Nation now finally get their own. And it makes you realize when you're with a team that everyone looks at the 18 championships and go, wow, it's a, you know, you wish you had 2, 3, 4, let alone 18. But everyone has their own perspective. And it actually been, this is one of the reasons people hate Boston, it had been 5.5 years since the team here won a championship. And that sounds like nothing. And it sounds like you're joking until you realize to a 13-year-old, 5.5 years is, he doesn't really remember the Patriots. And he barely remembers the Red Sox winning in 2018. So when you're the voice of a team, bringing it back to the question, you're trying to stamp it for the fans now, knowing that when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown walk into wherever the Celtics are playing in 30 or 40 years, they're going to get these huge ovations and they're going to be the legends. And as I said to Al Horford tonight, when we had him on after the game, he was talking about how seeing Bob Cousy and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Cedric Maxwell really got him going during the ceremony. I don't do this a lot, but I kind of jumped Max. I said, Al, you know you're one of those guys now. You're one of those guys. Who knows? A lot of people think the Celtics are going to win again this year. Maybe they will. But could be another 16 years, another 20 years, another who knows how long before you win. So you got to stamp these moments for the fans to enjoy them, because every generation is different.
Mm. And to that end, the generations that were present for the banner raising included Bob Cousy. And as Adam Silver pointed out, he's got the 6 rings and got a massive standing ovation. Paul Pierce is the one that comes out with the trophy, right? On the other end of that, you've got Jason Tatum and his son Deuce, who puts on the ring for the first time, and his face. And so, yeah, it really spanned a bunch of generations with this ceremony. It's cool.
My son has stared at the 08 ring in my house for a long time, and now he gets his own. And that's kind of the point.
The Celtics then go out and torch the Nets and torch the Knicks while they're at it. Weird, though, because they had an opportunity to set a new NBA record and didn't quite get it there at the end. What about a wild swing in this game? Goodness.
If the basketball gods are trying to tell you something, eventually you should start to listen. Stop launching the ridiculous shots at the end, and that, you know, it was enough was enough, and it was fine. I think it was stunning to see the Celtics at some level react. But for Knicks fans, who I'm sure are going to largely overreact over the next few days, and I get it. Mikal Bridges didn't look good in the preseason. He had a bad start. All these things. You live long enough, you see everything. You really live long enough, you see everything twice. I would say to Knicks fans tonight, 14 years ago, the Celtics played the exact same game on the opening night TNT game, and it was the first ever game for LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade for the Heatles together in Miami. Huge hype game, and the Celtics pretty much blasted them off the court. And I'd remind you that that season ended with Miami beating the Celtics in the playoffs. That what you saw tonight was the best team in the NBA and the defending champions picking up where they left off as a group with continuity that has played together and were able to just start on a gallop. Whereas the Knicks, not only do they have injuries now, they've got major new pieces. And they're going to figure this out. And the Knicks, I know it's not going to be a popular thing to say tonight, the Knicks are going to be just fine. It's going to be a really, really good team. They're a championship caliber team. And I think it's going to be a great footnote if the dream conference finals for many of us does happen next May. I think this is a great footnote to the story. You watch as the Celtics and Knicks play throughout the course of the year, these games will get closer and closer and closer.
Well, we know the Knicks have certainly made a ton of improvements. It's been a slow burn as a rebuild, but they look like they've got their group together. And then they add Karl-Anthony Towns in exchange for Julius Randle. How do you like him as an addition to that Knicks team?
High risk, high reward. You know, because the thing about Karl-Anthony Towns, just because you're from New York doesn't mean you can play in New York. And I think those questions are fair until he goes through the season. But he is a very unique player. The Knicks had the worst offensive spacing in the NBA last year, and everyone knew it, and they defended them that way. Now they will have among the best spacing in the NBA because of the way Towns shoot threes. What Leon Rose did is pure genius. Leon Rose and his staff putting that team together and not only building a championship caliber team, but building one, Amy, in the mold of the city. He built a team for New York. And the only thing that gives me some pause is that Isaiah Hartenstein and Dante DiVincenzo fit perfectly on that stage. And we don't yet, as outrageously gifted as Karl-Anthony Towns is, we don't yet know. We don't know one way or the other. And I'm not saying he won't be this guy, but we don't know if he can be that guy on that very specific stage. You know, and breaking up the Villanova thing also, who knows if there's bad juju in that. But you give me that group, Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart or whatever, they're going to be fine. And Tom Thibodeau coaching, you can remind me of what I'm saying now. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong in March and April, but I won't be. The Knicks are going to be in this thing if they stay relatively healthy.
Sean Grandy is the longtime voice of the Boston Celtics with us as the NBA tips off a new season and all eyes on the banner raising for 2024 in the Garden. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. True or false, Sean? Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are extra motivated this season because of what we'll call Olympic snubs.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons. And of course, the short answer is true to that. And it just creates this, I hate the expression perfect storm, but you know exactly that it is, which is when you get a defending champion back, the question is, are they going to have that motivation to go through the whole thing again? You never get a championship team come back with its two best players coming out of the gate with something to prove. And that's what you have here. And it's amazing. How can you have Jason Tatum have the year he just had, win the championship at age 26, something that Shaq didn't do, something that LeBron didn't do, something that Michael Jordan didn't do, and then have Jaylen Brown be the MVP of the conference finals and the finals, and they still come back feeling like they didn't get the respect they deserve because maybe they didn't. And again, you get that sort of dream scenario and the crazy motivation of Joe Mazzulla, and it looks perfect. But it's going to look perfect on a night they got 1.5 points per possession, and they just bludgeoned the Knicks, who couldn't guard them at the three-point line. You just could not have written a better script for the Celtics all of last year. And if you wanted to have a dream scenario for Boston fans for one night, this was it.
What's the biggest change for the Celtics in this season?
I wouldn't call it a change, but obviously knowing you don't, they played a ton of games without Porzingis last year. In fact, they played 101 games last year in winning a championship. They played 37 of those without Porzingis, and they went 31-6 in those 37 games. So they're used to it, but the concern for the Celtics isn't now. It isn't the system. It isn't the having these best players and their outrageous defensive IQ and Al Horford, who is, again, you want your soundbite and want to say the internet go crazy? If I had ended up doing that game on TNT tonight, I would have sent the internet crazy by saying the following. Al Horford is essentially Tom Brady. And what I mean by that is this. He isn't the GOAT. He's not the greatest to ever play. But he is defying age the way Brady did. And that Al is the same player now that he was 7, 8, 9 years ago in his late 30s. just as Brady was the same player at 37, 38, 39. We don't see this, and yet it's happening with Al Horford. So all those things are in place. The question is, when people have asked me over and over again, can they repeat? I say, answer this question. Is Porzingis healthy in the playoffs? That could be the difference. Are the Celtics okay without him for the regular season? Of course they are. And they got through playoff series last year without him, certainly. But you're going to need that option because teams, the Knicks being a perfect example, are going to start closing the gap and figuring out the Celtics at least a little bit as the season goes on. How many open threes did the Celtics have tonight? Yeah, they knocked down a bunch, and yeah, they set an NBA record, but they weren't. They were not challenged at the three-point line for much of this night. And that's because you had a new team in New York that didn't have their defensive system in place yet. And you know what the Celtics are going to do, but it takes a team that's played together for a while to stop it.
Elsewhere around the Eastern Conference, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Joel Embiid is out, I guess, for the first week. Paul George not playing either. What do you make of the 76ers and their, I guess, new-look roster?
I would say almost the same thing I just said about Porzingis. Is Joel Embiid healthy? Is Paul George healthy in the playoffs? I love Maxey. I love Nick Nurse. It's so easy. On opening night, everyone's just saying Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Milwaukee. And I've been around long enough to guarantee you on your show right now, you can play this back in the spring, because of the way the league works, there's no way those teams finish 1-4 in the East, and there's no way that they're going to be the final four teams in the Eastern Conference. It never works out that way. And I think teams that are getting snubbed here, you've got some good teams in that 5-8 range that are getting no love whatsoever. Orlando's going to be better. Indiana went to the conference finals, and the biggest team that nobody is talking about here is Cleveland. What you got, the Donovan Mitchell, they will, you know, go to the second round of the playoffs last year. They won 50-plus games. Kenny Atkinson has been a very good coach everywhere he's been. You got the Donovan Mitchell thing put to rest. Giannis gets hurt like he did last year. Embiid, obviously, how many games is he going to play in the regular season? And I think it's going to be tough to keep Cleveland out of that top four in the East. So every year, something happens. You and I, Amy, do not know what it is. Nobody knows what it is. But something always happens, usually early in the season, that changes the trajectory of it. Unfortunately, it's usually a major injury. I gave this exact interview 7 years ago to somebody on opening night in this whole speech about if something's going to happen that we can't possibly imagine. And 5 minutes into the first game, Gordon Hayward broke his leg.
Right.
And that changed the dynamic, changed the trajectory of the Celtics franchise that one moment. So something will happen. It always does. But this is the day for overreaction, right? Tomorrow morning, the Knicks will be horrible and overrated, and it was the worst trade in the history of trades, and the Lakers are back, and LeBron and Bronny are going to win a championship, because that's the beauty of tomorrow. And then the next day happens, and the next day, and the next day.
Sean Grandy's with us from Boston after opening night and some gaudy rings, but man, they are sparkly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Well, you mentioned this earlier, your dad, your son just turned 13. Can you even imagine what it's like to be LeBron and welcome Bronny James, as actually on his uniform it says James Jr., to the court to play with you in a game that matters?
I would imagine there are a lot of people tonight, people that don't like LeBron James, that hated it basketball-wise, but loved it as dads to see it. Because you can't, how can you not be affected by it? One of the coolest things, and you know, the beauty of everybody having a camera now is you're going to see all these different views of things. One of the coolest pieces of video I saw tonight, and I was sitting right in the middle of the Boston Celtics banner going up and winning a championship, but the coolest thing I saw in video tonight was somebody recording LeBron and Bronny walking on the court and then pulling back to reveal two other guys, both filming it with their camera, and the two guys were Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
Which was unbelievable to see. I'm a LeBron guy. I kind of always have been. It does not endear me to a lot of the locals here in Boston. But regardless of how you feel about LeBron James and his legacy and where he is, and if you don't want to say he's the greatest player of all time, you certainly don't have to. But if you're not including him in the conversation, you're just not saying things clearly. And this moment didn't have anything to do with LeBron, this was just about a dad. And the accomplishment here is LeBron playing at a high level long enough to see this day. That's the amazing thing, is that we don't even think about, is LeBron one of the top five players in the league anymore? I don't know, but I know it's his 22nd year. Well, he's doing things nobody has ever done. A pretty good NBA night. I'm not sure you could you could script it any better after you had, you know, the baseball playoffs you've had. And so what was the WNBA TV rating number? They had, I tweeted this earlier today, 3.3 million people were watching the end of that Lynx-Liberty game the other night. Yep. Unfortunately, none of them were the officials, but it was pretty cool.
What's a story that I didn't ask you about in the NBA that you're anxious to see unfold?
I'm always interested to see the teams that people aren't talking about. It's, there are usually stories within those teams, but you know, when I mention Cleveland, it's because everyone makes up their mind. This is the narrative. These are the four teams in the East that are going to be the four dominant teams, and nobody else is going to jump into it. Not sure. I think that the playoff races are going to be so competitive, Amy, because I think you're going to have five, six, seven teams in a league that are going to be really struggle to win 20 games. And there's the Cooper Flag thing, you know, trying to get the pick in the draft, and just teams that are going to be, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is huge. And I mentioned Cleveland in the East. In the Western Conference, everyone's going to talk about LA and Golden State because they always do. Everyone's going to talk about Dallas because they went to the finals and Luka is there. Anthony Edwards is a superstar among superstars, and Minnesota will be in this conversation. OKC may be the best regular season team in the league, and yet a team that has Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, nobody's talking about at all. And Mike Budenholzer with a pretty – so I'm always fascinated. You can't talk about everybody. Cleveland to me in the East, and particularly Phoenix in the West, are teams that it's really interesting that nobody is – you know, nobody's saying a word.
Sean Grandy is not just the radio voice of the Boston Celtics for, well, forever, but now he's a YouTube sensation, wow, which really impresses his son.
Yeah, that's huge.
Now he thinks you're cool.
Yeah, my son, as we've discussed extensively now for 15 minutes, 13 years old, has lived behind the curtain with the Celtics, knows all the players, traveled on the plane, the whole thing. And when I did a project with Kai Cenat a couple of weeks ago, he was never more excited about anything in his life than he was about that, because YouTubers are where it is. So you know this, Amy, in play-by-play, and there are some of my colleagues are into it, and some of them are just can't stand it, but there's going to be a camera on you now. That's the way it goes.
Everything you do.
Max and I, after all these years, are going to have a camera on us every minute of every game, and that's the way of it, and welcome to our world.
At Sean Grandy, PBP, longtime voice of the Celtics, off and running a near record for three-pointers in their opening game after raising that banner. All right, well, we're going to keep track, keeping receipts, as the kids say, of all these different things that we've talked about. And, of course, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, Sean.
You got it.
You know, producer Pete, in hearing Sean talk about being on YouTube and knowing now that everything they do is also recorded, and their home station, 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, used to be our home station, actually, in Boston, until we switched affiliates, they are cutting up clips and sharing those online. And it's true. You can see video of most play-by-play announcers these days as they're making the biggest calls. Now, maybe early in the season, not that big a deal, but we're talking about huge home runs or walk-off hits or a championship like it was for the Celtics. Even in football, you've got guys on camera often now. It reminds me that we have talked about putting our show on YouTube at least once a week. And part of my resistance is that I generally talk with my hands a lot. I don't sit still very often, so I have a leg that's bouncing, or I'm moving around, or I'm eating, not while I'm on the air sometimes, but I've got notes in front of me, and my hair at times can look like I got pulled out of a cow's rear end. So I don't really know that I want to be on camera, because I feel like it will take away from the listening experience. But it is true, everything's on YouTube, and our YouTube channel has been dormant for at least 8 months now. What should we do?
It's on. We're on the way with that.
Are we?
No. We will.
No? He says no.
Not yet. We will get there. Rome wasn't built in a day.
No. Goodness. That's true. If this is Rome, it's going to take years. Did you see Marco's reaction there, or can you not see him around the computer?
I felt it.
That's tremendous.
We're working on that. Are we working on that? No.
I have a list.
I know. We've got short-term goals. We've got long-term goals. We've got them written down, and we've talked about them. And little by little, baby steps is what he's saying. And baby steps during football season, well, that's tough to do. at Amy After Hours if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, like how come you're not on YouTube broadcasting your show live. We've gotten that before. And then Facebook as well. And don't forget, you got a few minutes left to vote for the TD of the week. 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Lakers finished off the T-Wolves 110-103 as Anthony Davis poured in 36 with 16 rebounds. LeBron James, 16, will also become the first father-son duo to ever play an NBA game. Bronny James, 3 minutes in the second quarter, missed both of his shots, also pulled down a rebound.
I'm just extremely grateful for everything. I was given an amazing opportunity to come in this league and get better every day and learn every day. I'm just extremely grateful.
That's Bronny, courtesy of TNT. Off the floor, the T-Wolves reportedly extend Rudy Gobert 3 years, $110 million. Meanwhile, the Celtics put on a display to kick off their year.
Tatum, challenged by Towns, draws a double team, moves to the free throw line. White finds Jaylen Brown open in the corner for three.
Man, this is ridiculous. Wait, they swinging that ball. The Knicks don't have a chance.
Record-tying 29 threes made by the Celtics. They pound the Knicks 132-109. Call courtesy of the Celtics Radio Network. Jason Tatum led the way with 37. Derek White, 24. Jaylen Brown, 23. As the Celtics cruise on the night that they rose their 18th championship banner. NFL Saints and Alvin Kamara reportedly agree to a two-year extension, $24.5 million. Bucks getting the news they expected. Chris Godwin done for the season with a dislocated ankle, but what about Mike Evans, who left with a hamstring injury?
At this point, we're probably expecting after the bye week. He tweaked it pretty good when he fell on it on that play. And yeah, it's moderate, but it's hurting pretty good right now. So we'll probably say after the bye week, hopefully.
That's head coach Todd Bowles. Their bye week comes up week 11. Niners wideout Deebo Samuel out of the hospital after being treated for pneumonia. Still unclear when he'd be able to return. Fernando Valenzuela has died. The lefty played 17 seasons in the bigs, won the Cy Young and the Rookie of the Year in 1981 as Fernando Mania swept L.A., helping the Dodgers to beat the Yankees in the 1981 World Series. A six-time All-Star, Valenzuela was 63. And from college football, a couple of games with Sam Houston upending Florida International 10-7 and Louisiana Tech handled UTEP 14-10. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We are an hour away, not even an hour away, from Ask Amy Anything. So send your most creative, intuitive, intelligent, is that a thing? And your intelligent questions to either our show Twix at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. And yeah, we'll get to them as many as we possibly can. It's my sincere goal to not be late on the segment before, so we limit the time for questions. So I'm focused on that on this edition of The Hump Show. And top of the hour, we're going to get to some football. We've got the latest from Todd Bowles on the Buccaneers wide receiver room. Also, Jerry Jones returning to Dallas Radio, 105.3 The Fan, our Dallas affiliate with Sean and RJ. You may remember what happened last week when he seemed to insinuate that he was going to replace them because they were asking him questions or pestering him or badgering him or whatever other words you might use in a manner that he felt was disrespectful,
okay,
blah,
so
blah,
what?
Blah. But now he's back and it seems as though they have made up and are moving forward. Also, we've got World Series fever on the horizon and I'm anxious to get to this series. Can I tell you something? This is kind of funny. I do love being on the air when we've got the biggest events, because I get a chance to talk about them. At the same time, there is a joy when it happens to be that a World Series game one and two are on nights when I don't work. Then I can sit back and relax and not have to think about storylines that I need to talk about in a couple hours. So it's a little bit different vibe when it comes to watching games that I don't have to be on the air that night. Though it is a privilege, of course, to be the one that you listen to when we're talking about these biggest games. Let's talk to Kevin, who's in Illinois. Kevin wants to weigh in on LeBron and his son. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, man, my first time caller. Thanks for thanks for having me.
Of course.
I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
As a 63-year-old father of three, I just think it's absolutely amazing that, first of all, this is the first time in basketball that's ever happened, because I'm sure it happened in hockey with Gordie Howe and his kids.
Mm-hmm. And in baseball.
Exactly. So, you know, it must be a huge, huge thrill as a family person. And you know what? I'm a Michael Jordan guy, but I give my kudos out to LeBron. I think he's done everything the right way. I think he's a phenomenal ambassador for the game of basketball. And as a father, there's no bigger thrill than having the ability to play the same sport as your child and be on the court with them at the same time. That to me is mind-blowing. And I give kudos to the Lakers organization. And anyone who doesn't like LeBron has to respect him, of all things. In my opinion, he is probably one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Yeah, well, and considering the marketing giant that he is and the fact that he transcends his sport, I don't know if people know this, but he's made far more money off the court than he has on the court. And that's saying something in the NBA, the gold medals, and, you know, he's got businesses outside of basketball. I would say he's like the modern day, you know, businessman, like a modern day Renaissance man, if you will, for what he's been able to do. And he's not the only one. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, those guys were retired, though, by the time they did a lot of some of their, you know, their various other ventures. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
He's doing it while he plays.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive that he's doing it while he's playing. Yep.
I mean, how does someone have that kind of time with his you know, as much as he's wanted in front of the media, and he never backs down from anything? I mean, he's just a superhuman being in my mind to be able to have that kind of time and be a family man, and at the same time, be the ambassador that he is for this game.
Well, I think it helps that you have the ability to surround yourself with the best people.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And you know what? I couldn't agree more. And like I said, I'm sitting here in Chicago, and you know, you can ask any Chicagoan who the best player in basketball is of all time, and they're going to tell you it's Michael Jordan. And I'm going to tell you, he might be. But LeBron is right there, and in my mind, a much better ambassador for the game of basketball than Michael was, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Michael was concerned with other things, right? He was concerned with winning, and that was pretty much it. He didn't want to be a guy who would divide people or take a stand when it came to politics or social justice, that type of thing. Completely different personality, so I understand that. But I think it's big of you that you can come from Illinois and leave that door open, just a sliver, that Michael might not be the greatest of all time.
he's right there, but listen, I mean, as far as the game of basketball and the ambassadorship that LeBron's showing, I mean, he surrounds himself with some of the greats. He's learned from some of the greats beside Michael and Magic and Bird. And, I mean, you know, I mean, he certainly, you see him all the time talking to any of the greats that are still alive.
That's true.
He's always surrounding himself with that.
He loves the history as well.
And I don't think Michael did that as much. Mm. And I think LeBron's more public about it. And I think it makes him, you know, show you what it is that he truly represents. And
that's true. He's a fan. I appreciate that, Kevin. Thank you so much. He's definitely a family man. Sorry, the music's going, and if I don't cut you off, the computer will cut you off. But I appreciate your phone call, especially the first time ever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.